We are going to get started with chapter 3 on divine healing. This is one of my favorite chapters. I love preaching and teaching on healing. I believe it is one of the most, It is one of the most misunderstood topics in the Bible. And not because it's hard, but because you'll find that most pastors are no longer preaching the full covenant of God. And this is one of the challenges that we have. We have a lot of people in the body of Christ that are ill. And everybody here at some point in time has been ill. True? So it's not that illness doesn't come, but we have a covenant that overcomes it. The problem is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you're never taught about healing, guess what you're probably not going to get? Healed. And this is a serious issue in the body of Christ because we're finding that the majority, not the minority, in fact, in this region, we are the only church that preaches it's always God's will to heal. Now, I couldn't say that if it wasn't biblical, and I'll prove this to you. But it is always, if I say always, tell somebody else, not sometimes, always God's will to heal. If you understand that, then you can have faith. You can't put faith in something you're not sure of. If you weren't sure that that chair could hold you, you'd come in and wiggle it a few times just to make sure. Because you're not going to plop down on something, you're not going to put faith in something that you're not sure is going to be promised that it will come through. The same thing is with healing. And if you're not sure it's always God's will to heal, then you can't believe wholly it's God's will to heal. So therefore, I'm putting it this way. We have some doctors in the church, and one of the doctors came up to me as we're teaching this class. Now remember, the doctors are taught by science. And science and doctors are good. Everybody say, doctors are good. Not all doctors are good, but most doctors are good. Most doctors have a true heart, and their heart is to help people get healthy. And God uses doctors. Amen? We know that which guy in the Bible was a doctor? Very good. Luke was a doctor. So it's important to know that God uses doctors. But at the same time, doctors are really, they're not the great physician. There's only one great physician. Now, here's the issue. This doctor came up to me and he said, Pastor, you're teaching it's always God's will to heal. What am I doing for a living? I said, for goodness sakes, I said, there are a lot of people, number one, let's just take all unbelievers. All unbelievers have to have doctors. They've got no other hope. And now let's look at it. Most church people, because pastors are no longer preaching healing, they all need doctors. Now, what a doctor is, now let's say your pastor, like you do, has and preaches on divine healing, that it's always God's will. So why do you need a doctor? Because you need a doctor to confirm what God is accomplishing and for you to understand and identify what even to pray for. How can you pray for something if you're not even sure what you're praying for? So doctors are good for all people. Anything that thwarts sickness is good. The word thwart means pushes it away. Anything that thwarts sickness is good. So doctors aren't bad, doctors are good. There is not a collision between medical science and the Bible. None. God will use both. But ultimately, it is God's will always for you to be healthy and to live. Amen. And not just live healthy. I said live healthy. Amen. So what we want to talk about tonight is proving to you, I want to start with the proof that it is always God's will to heal. If I say that, it's always God's will to heal. Now I want to take you on an adventure in the scripture. Some of you have been on this adventure before, but I don't think you can ever be on this adventure enough. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What happens is many times because we live in a society, in fact, if you've ever watched Fox News, has anybody ever watched Fox News? You cannot watch Fox News, CNN, or MSNBC without seeing 10 to 15 medical commercials and drugs, boom, 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 boom. That's the majority of all commercials now on all of those news stations is medicine. that when you really start hearing about the medicine, it's going to cause more trouble than it is if you than what your problem was with taking it. So we need to recognize that right now there's an onslaught about medications. Now, all medications, only 1% of them have any healing element to them at all. Did you know that? Only 1%. The rest of them, they are what we call masks or covers. What many people don't realize is how the medical profession works. All medical people go to school for the same amount of time, pre-med, and then they have to make a decision. They have to make a decision to go pharmaceutical or they've got to go homeopathic. It's a choice. Chiropractic, homeopathic, acupuncture. It's a whole different element. It's a whole different line. Well, there's not a lot of money in that. Most insurances don't cover that realm. So most doctors are going to the pharmaceutical side. The pharmaceutical side covering the problem, where the homeopathic chiropractic actually tried to identify the cause. Now, it's a real issue in our society today because we're looking at people and the amount of money it takes and how much money people get paid, and I'm not blaming doctors. What I'm saying is the medical profession is so expensive. I don't know how much you pay for insurance, but I know how much I pay for insurance. For two people, $1,400 a month. That does not include eyes, and that does not include, what's the other one that everybody usually gets? Eyes and what's? And dental. Does not include either. So $1,400 a month. That's the best I could get through the Obamacare stuff. That's the best price. It's amazing to me the cost of that. And then, of course, you got copays. So the cost of this is astronomical. Many people don't realize also is that the FDA is made up of pharmaceutical companies and doctors. And so it really is beneficial to keep people sick. Now, I'm not saying that all doctors do this, but there are doctors that have this flow. And mainly because, well, they say if you are a diabetic, you are worth about $250,000 to your doctor and the pharmaceuticals through your lifetime. $250,000. That's not bad. You know, it's a way to keep things flowing. And so I am 100% absolutely believe in doctors. I have a doctor. I go to my doctor. He rebuked me strongly the last time I was at his office. He said, Pastor Spencer, you have not been here in 2.5 years. That is wrong. You are a public figure. You play an important part in our community. And you have got to make sure that you are taken care of. I'm going to put you through all the tests that you should have been through already. I said, so I did a stress test. And I did, what do they call that? I don't know. I did all these tests and came back all beautiful. Everything is beautiful. God is good. But, you know, the fact is I still go to doctors, and I believe in doctors. But we've got to believe that the Word of God is above our doctor. Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. You have what's called facts, and you have what's called truths. Doctors, through medical science, work with facts. But the Word of God deals with truth, and truth trumps facts. It's extremely important for you to get a hold of that. The truth is over your facts. What is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. So if you know the Word of God, you understand the Word of God, then you can have faith in the Word of God, then the truth will make you free. The problem is, and the challenge is, when you believe more in the facts than you do in faith, than you do in God's Word, then you're going to get what you believe for. This is important because, again, medical science is extremely amazing. There's no way you cannot believe in it. I think the very first time that I was overwhelmingly convinced how amazing doctors are was when they were showing a man who had had a farm accident when he was, I think he was 8 years old, and his elbow was frozen, and he walked around like this at all times. He couldn't bend his elbow. It had been wounded in some kind of farm accident. And in his 30s, they cut here, took the elbow out, and put in a, I always say this wrong, cadaver's, right? Cadaver's elbow, and he had an elbow that worked. It was really ugly, but it really worked. So how can you not believe in doctors? But at the same time, when we put more faith in a doctor than we do in God and his word, we're out of order. And this is where you can't put faith in something you're not sure of. So when the church doesn't preach healing, when the church doesn't teach healing, then there's a big problem, because then all we do have is our doctors. And again, I want to remind you that doctors are practicing. Isn't that what it's called? Practicing medicine. And doctors kill accidentally over 99,000 people per year. Double the amount that died in the Vietnam War. Accidentally. They've got good hearts. I've met doctors. I was talking to a doctor just recently, and I looked at him and says, you know, I just love, you are so, not just professional, but you are genuinely caring, a caring person. I was so overwhelmed by this person's quality of life and how he communicated and his genuine care about people. I love that. But remember, doctors are still practicing. And so there's a need for all of us to know the Word of God. Your first go-to is Dr. Jesus. Your second go-to is Doc. Your first go-to is divine healing. Your second go-to is the hospital. Do we believe in the hospital? Absolutely. But when the first go-to is the hospital, they can help you. But the truth is that you have a covenant. We're going to start talking about that tonight. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is always God's will to heal you. Because when you do, you can actually have faith. There are two things that cannot be separated in the Word of God. It is the blood and the body. So we're going to have a fun time. We're going to start repeating here in a few moments. The blood, we can see this in the book of Exodus chapter 12, talking about the Passover. I want to remind you what happened at the Passover. At the Passover, the Lord said, I want you to put the blood of a lamb over the doorpost, and the death angel will not kill the people, the firstborn in your home. So there was a penalty that was coming, and that was there was going to be death in all of Egypt. The firstborn of every family was going to die unless the blood was put over the doorposts. We know the blood and the Passover was representing what Jesus Christ was going to do on the cross. What did Jesus do? The Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he applied the blood. Those that confess the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The blood is applied, old things are passed away, all things become new, and you are now sin-free through Christ Jesus because of the blood of the Lamb. He died on the cross so you don't have to die, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So the blood always represents forgiveness. Say that with me. The blood represents forgiveness. Say it out loud. The blood always represents forgiveness. But there's another part of the Passover that many times the pastors do not preach or we do not see. It was that they were also not only to put the blood over the doorpost that represented redemption or the passing over of death or Christ dying on the cross for our sins, but they were also to eat the body of the Lamb. Now, the body of the Lamb representing there was the body of Christ. And so here, how many of you ever had communion? You take the cup, which represents the blood. You take the cracker, which represents the body. Now, remember, when God says something once, pay attention. When God says something twice, come on, he really means it. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. But when he has it from the fabric of all the way from Genesis chapter 12, all the way to the book of Revelation, it's time to pay attention that this is a principle that is yea and amen in the Word of God. It is God's nature, God's character, God's personality. So here, as you and I are born again people, we have what's called a new covenant. Jesus is the mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. And in this covenant, Christ has accomplished certain things that he established all the way back in the Old Testament, but then brought it into the new covenant because it's his character, not just a principle. So let's look at this real quickly. And that's Exodus chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. They shall take the blood and put it on the two sides of the post and in the lintel above the door space of the houses in which they shall eat the Passover lamb. And thou shalt eat the flesh that night, roasted in unleavened bread and bitter herbs, thou shalt eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled in at all with water, but roasted, its head, its legs, and its inner parts. You shall let nothing of the meat remain until morning, and the bones and the unedible bits which remain until morning you shall burn with fire. You shall eat it thus, as prepared for a journey, your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So the Passover, the blood represents, come on now, the blood represents, the body represents healing. Every single time in the scripture, not once, not twice, Exodus chapter 12, Psalms 103, Psalms 105, Isaiah 53, Matthew 8, verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. We know every single one of these are talking about the exact same thing. It's a flow in the entire word of God. The blood represents, come on, the blood represents, the body represents, the blood represents, the body represents, the blood represents, the body represents, the body represents, the blood represents. When you understand that these two principles cannot be extracted from each other. Whenever you see one, you always see the other. How many believe that the blood forgives your sins? All the time, or are there sins that are just too bad? All the time. Then if you believe it's always God's will to forgive, then you've got to believe it's always God's will to heal. This is important because until we allow this to seat in our spirit, what happens is we vacillate. Well, you know, did God put this on me? Or, well, you know, is it really God's will to heal me? Or, well, you know, maybe it's just that, you know, I'll get healed when I get to heaven. God don't need you in heaven. God needs you here. It's important for us to establish this. So the blood represents, the body represents, the blood represents, the body represents healing. Psalms 105, 37 and 38. And he also brought them out with silver and gold. Now I think this is important because you need to see the last part of your covenant. Your first part is the blood, which represents, come on, the blood represents, the body represents, and you'll notice that they came out of Egypt with wealth. Prosperity is something also Christ paid for all the way back in Egypt. You know, people have a problem with prosperity. It amazes me that people struggle with understanding that God wants you to prosper and not be poor and not be just hand to mouth all the time. I don't understand that. That confuses me. I don't understand anybody that wants to live in poverty. It doesn't make sense. And Christ paid for that. When they left Egypt, there was not one feeble, that's the next portion of the scripture, there was not one feeble among the tribes. The word feeble there literally means sick and or weak. So what we find here is the blood represents, we see this in Exodus 12, that when they put the blood over top, Psalms 105 is talking about this exact same event that happened, that when they left Egypt, when the blood was put over, not one of the firstborn was killed. They also left with all the gold and the silver of Egypt. And not only that, there was not one feeble among the tribes. Here's your three-part covenant. The blood is always about forgiveness. The body is always about healing and the blessing or prosperity that God has for his people. So right here, it's so important that you can't separate these two things. And when you know that, then you can start, if you believe in forgiveness, you believe it's always God's will to forgive you. Who's ever cussed before? Did you ask God to forgive you? Did you hope it happened? Or did you know it happened? You knew it happened. So the same knowing can be acquired through healing. You can know that you know that you know that you know that it is always God's will to heal you, just like you know that you know that you know that you know it's always God's will to forgive you. Well, we can see this in Psalms 103. The Bible says in Psalms 103, I'm not sure where you are, but I know you're in here somewhere. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. How many of you have a benefit package with your job or had one? How many of you liked it? Some of you got medical, yes? Some of you got medical. Some of you got cars. Some of you got stipends. Some of you got this. Some of you got that. You know, there's all different type of benefit packages. But how many of you have ever watched National Lampoon's Christmas? It is the best, isn't it? It's so funny, man. He's so funny. My favorite is when the cousin gets mad because I want to remind you what happened in the movie. He had a benefit package of, they usually got a $5,000 bonus, and he went out and bought a pool for his family. Well, the boss didn't give the bonus. And so here he's in trouble. He was waiting all the way till Christmas Eve midnight, and it never arrived. So his strange cousin, what was his name? Eddie. His cousin Eddie jumps in his RV, goes over to the boss's house, goes in, kidnaps him, brings him back. Oh, come on. It was just such a funny movie. I got to watch it again. And so puts him in the, and starts barraging. And then everyone finds out he didn't give the bonus. And his wife turned on him because he didn't give the bonus. It was so funny. But you know what's amazing? He didn't put up with not getting the bonus, or at least Cousin Eddie didn't. We get a bonus from the Lord. Here's the bonus. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every sin and heals some diseases. What? All? Is that what the Bible says? Does the Bible say all? Oh, come on now. We know that the big C is stronger than God. We know that HIV is bigger than God. We know that diabetes is bigger than God. There's some things that God can't heal. He's not powerful enough. Listen, we might not say that, but many of us live that. When sickness comes to our door, instead of us recognizing that we have a covenant right with the Lord, listen, and again, I'm not against doctors. We go to the doctor before we go to Dr. Jesus, the great physician. We put more faith in, we have more peace in what the doctor tells us than we do what the Bible tells us. And the problem with that is that it's conditioning us to actually believe only part of the covenant. Now, can you go to heaven sick? Absolutely. Can you go to heaven and have a disease? Absolutely. It is not a criteria to go to heaven, but it is part of your benefit package. And I don't know about you. I don't want half of my benefits. I want all of my benefits. Amen. They've been paid for. The benefits were paid for. You don't have to pay for them. They're already purchased. Purchased on the cross of Calvary, where Christ hung on the tree and he gave up his ghost and he declared that by his stripes you were healed. Recognizing your covenant right is so important. The Passover in its fullness is the shadow of Christ. We're not talking about a doctrine. We're talking about our God's personality. There are seven names of God. If you go back to chapter 1 in the blue book or in your first book, book one, where the study is on God, you'll see the seven Jehovah names. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Rapha, I am the God that healeth thee. This is one of his names. It goes beyond just a timetable in the scripture. This is the very nature, the very character, the very personality of your God. Knowing who your God is. The first chapter in the book is called Who's Your Daddy? Because the fact is, many of us know God, but we don't know who our Father is. When you understand your Father and you understand this is his name, this is not just something he does, this is who he is. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha. That's found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Rapha means to make healthful. God wants you healthy and not sick. 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 Amen. Well, you know, I just want to go to heaven. You know, everything else is just good. No! Well, you know, I know people who are sick that do a lot for Jesus. They could do more for Jesus healthy. Health is good. Sickness is prison. You've got the common cold. Snot's running down your face. You know, you're running around, you got just a basic cold. Your nose is red, you've been blowing it so much. You even got those Kleenexes that have the penetrated Vaseline in them. Is that what they are? Yeah. Oil, lotion. It didn't work. Snot's running down the back of your throat at night, running out the front of your nose during the daytime. You're hacking and coughing. You forget to cover your mouth and everybody goes like this. You go to shake somebody's hand and they're looking twice. Then they run around and they go wash quickly or get the antiseptic stuff on their hands. I don't care if it's a common cold. It's jail. I have never found even anybody with a common cold that said, wow, this is good. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed, except for the common cold. Right? See how we've accepted things? Well, you know, we live in a fallen world. I guess just the way it is. Well, go ahead. That is the way it is for you. That is the way it's going to be for your life. It's not that sickness isn't going to come. It's not that sin's temptation doesn't come to your doorstep. But what do you do when it comes is the issue. And if you don't have faith, it's always God's will to heal you, then the only hope you have is medicine. But when you understand your covenant right, you can mix Dr. Jesus with some help of the doctors, and you can bring healing and health to your body. How many would rather be healthy or sick? How many would rather be healthy? How many would rather be sick? No one would rather be sick. Well, you know, I think it's God's will. He puts sickness on our bodies. Really? If you really believe that it's God's will and God puts sickness on your body, then why are you going to your doctor? If you're going to a doctor and you believe it's God's will that he put it on you, that he's teaching you some spiritual lesson out of it, then how dare you stop God's will in your life? How dare you take a Tylenol if you get a headache? If God put it on you, it's good for you. I've never seen somebody go, hey, I've got the common cold. I want to give it to you. You don't mind, do you? No. Do you realize if you actually believe it's God's will that you're sick, that every doctor and every nurse is satanic? Because what's their job? To make you better. See how twisted the church has become? We've got to make up really bad excuses to destroy the will of God for our life. God wants us to get back to being believers. That's what we're called, right? Believers. We are to get back to believe the word of God that the blood always represents. Come on, the blood always represents. The body always represents. The blood represents. The body represents. If it's always God's will to forgive, it's always God's will to heal. But if you don't believe that, then you can't have faith to activate that. And this is where we have this collision right now. Because the churches aren't teaching the full covenant of God. The only hope that the church has is medical. And again, I'm not against medical science, but I am for healing. It's cheaper. It saves you money. And this is God's will for your life. I am the God that healeth thee. I am. Remember when Moses was saying, God, who do I say has sent me? He was going to go talk to Pharaoh. And he said, God, who at the burning bush, who do I say has sent me? And God said, the I am that I am. Whew, felt the anointing on that. What do you mean, the I am that I? This is God saying, it's me. This is a declaration of his name, of his character, of his personage. So whenever you see I am in the scripture, whenever God says, I am Jehovah, I am Jehovah Rapha, he's saying, by nature, I'm the healer. By nature, I'm the restorer. By nature, I'm the deliverer. By nature, this is who I am. Do you remember when they came to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? The crowd came in. Jesus said, who are you after? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And the Bible says the moment he said, I am, all of them fell over backwards. They were all slain in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he declared his God nature. And the power was released. See, when you understand who your Father is, when you understand the will of your Father, you can put faith in the will of your Father. I want to remind you, God is not moved by your needs. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that believe that he is, those that pray must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You see, you can't please God without faith, because faith activates heaven. We did a whole series on this year, on Next Level Faith, where your faith activates heaven to come to earth. Your faith brings heaven to earth. So without faith, you can't bring your covenant right to your life. And you can't have faith if you're not convinced that it's always God's will for you. The big thing preachers are into nowadays. They don't want to look stupid, so when they come pray for you, they'll go, Lord, if it be your will. Do you know how many times Jesus prayed that? Oh, he did. He prayed it once. In the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus already knew the will of the Father, did he not? He already knew he was going to die on a cross. He already knew the call of God for his life. He already knew his life's ending and his resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Yet in the middle of intensity, he said, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, let it be. Whatever your will is, though, I'll do. He didn't hear a thunder from heaven. He already knew. So what did he do? He got up, and the will was unfolded. So why do we use that all the time? We use that all the time because, I'll talk from the preacher's side of view, because the preachers don't want to look bad if someone doesn't get a manifestation of their miracle. Well, the last I knew, I wasn't the healer. Phew. Last I knew, I'm not Jehovah Rapha. Phew. Last I knew, I couldn't heal the wing on a fly. Phew. But the great part is that I have the ability through the power of Jesus' name to call those things which are not as though they already are. I have the power in the name of Jesus that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I have the power in the name of Jesus that I can cast out devils, speak with new tongues. If I touch any dead thing, it shall not harm them. And when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, because the anointing that is within destroys every yoke of bondage. And when I lay hands on somebody in the name of Jesus and the power of God is released, there is a supernatural anointing that goes into that body, and the anointing brings order to someone's life. That's even physical. Understanding this flow brings you to the place of realizing that you can lay hands on yourself and release the anointing, and God can heal you by your hands laying on you. So knowing that it's always God's will to heal is so important. Hello, Sherry Boland, how are you? Carla Visha, Stacy is on still. Elizabeth is on. You guys don't mind if I talk to the online folk a little bit. Hi, Rhonda, you were just here. Lisa, let me see anybody else. Charity, how are you? Lynn Piper, Jennifer. So it comes to this place in your life that you have to make a decision. And that decision is you're going to believe all of God's word or just the parts that make you comfortable. You can't believe it all unless you're convinced. You got to believe. If I told you that I put $10 in your pocket, actually, let's up the ante. It's Christmas. If I told you I put $100 in your pocket, you have a choice. You're either going to stick your hand in your pocket and make sure. Or if you really know who I am, if I'm telling you I put $100 in your pocket, you don't even have to put your hand in your pocket. You just go buy something. And when it's time to cash out, you're going to put your hand and you're going to know that $100 is in there. You have confidence. Do we have confidence enough in God's word that it's always God's will to heal? That no matter what somebody says, no matter what facts are displayed, we can trust that God is able to do what he's promised to do. Here's one that I've been struggling with in my own mind because I have to have a transformation in my mind. And that is, I've prayed for people and I've seen people get healthier in the process. And I actually didn't realize it, but I was actually putting faith in a manifestation more than still in the Word of God. Because whether the report is bad or the report is good, does that have any reflection upon what the Word says? Are we putting our faith in the Word, or are we putting our faith in a circumstance? Whew. You go to the doctor, he says you're getting better. Are you putting your faith that you're getting better, or are you still putting your faith in the Word of God? You go to the doctor, he says things aren't looking good. Are you putting your report? Are you putting your faith in the report of the doctor, or are you putting your faith in the report of the Lord? Isaiah 53:1. Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. You see, we have to come to this crossroads in our life where we actually start believing that God's word is more than just a good religious book, more than just you and I getting to heaven. You're not in heaven yet. Can anybody testify with me? And while you're on this earth, sickness comes. But when sickness comes, you have a covenant right according to Exodus chapter 12, Psalms 105, Psalms 103, Isaiah 53, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You have the right all the way through the Word of God that if it's always God's will to forgive, then it's always God's will to heal. And you've got to grab this, live this. You've got to enhance this. You've got to say thank God for the covenant right. And you've got to learn how to stand in faith. And after I've done all I can do to stand, stand therefore. Pastor, I know some people of good faith, they died believing. Well, baby, I'd rather die a believer any day than die a doubter. Let that be my testimony, if nothing else. I died and never gave up. How do you know that after your last breath, God ain't going to raise you from the dead? Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, don't worry about it. You've never prayed for anybody, so don't worry. You'll never get anybody raised from the dead. I still believe in raising from the dead. I still believe it's God's will. Tell the story periodically, but there was a man in Enfield. I got a call from his daughter and when I was pastoring up there, and she said, my father is in a comatose state. He's elderly, but he has a hospice at the house. Can you come and pray? I said, sure. I brought my associate with me. His name is Bob. And we went up and we walked in the door, and the daughter met us there. And the mother, you know, they were both in their 70s, which is very young, was at the end of the bed. And I looked at the daughter. I said, do you mind taking your mother down to Friendly's? That's when where Denny's is, used to be Friendly's. I said, do you mind taking her down there? And so, no, we'll go down for breakfast. I said, I just need maybe a half hour, an hour with your dad. And, you know, remember, he's comatose. He's not even really there. He's just... He hadn't talked, hadn't looked, hadn't opened his eyes, they said, in about a month. And I walked over as they left, and I said, okay, Bob, let's get to work. And Bob did something that just made me almost vomit, and that is he started stroking the guy's hair because there was feces on the bed, and it just was really, you know, I'm not a germaphobe, but that was like, I really struggled. I don't have the gift of mercy, but I do have the gift of faith. And I looked at this man, and Bob was there, and you know, because I can do whatever I want now. Mama's gone. And I looked at him, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to sit up now. Sat right up, he looked at me. I said, hi. I said, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And he said, no. I said, you need Christ. He said, yes, sir. I led him to Jesus right there. About a half hour, his wife walked in, and he called her pet name. I don't remember what it was, but it was a pet name that they had for their years of marriage, over 50 years. She just starts crying. And there at the house, you know, they're all just hugging and crying. And my time was good, man, and my time was over. So I look at Bob and say, well, let's go to Friendly's. So we walk out to the car, and Bob goes to shake my hand. I said, don't you touch me, man. You had that all over that dude's head, man. Don't you touch me. You're gonna wash first. You're not touching me. Within days, the man died and went home to be with Jesus. But man, that's the closest I've seen to raising from the dead. Where he sat right up, gave his heart to the Lord, and within days, he went on to be with the Lord. But he was able to spend time with his bride before he did. I want you to realize healing is always God's will for your life. You got to believe this. When we take communion, we take communion. We declare this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 25. For I have received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. The bread represents the body. the body represents. And he'd given him thanks, and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. In my blood, the blood represents. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What do you see there? Blood and body. Blood and body. Exodus chapter 12, blood and body. Psalms 103, blood and body. Psalms 105, blood and body. You're going to see Isaiah chapter 53, blood and body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, blood and body. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, blood and body. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, blood and body. You can't separate these two. The blood represents. The body represents, the blood represents, the body represents, hallelujah, the blood represents, the body represents, in the name of Jesus, we declare that sickness that's in this room, we declare that sickness that's watching by live stream, you are cursed in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you by the power of God and the covenant that was cut in his name on that tree, and we declare you must come out of the body of the children of God. Just like sin must go, you too must leave the bodies of the people of God in the name of Jesus. God, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that many are weak, sick, and dead because they have not discerned the Lord's body. What does it mean to discern? Understand. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says that many are sick, many are dead. Not because it's not God's will, but because they don't discern, they don't understand what the body of the Lord is for. How many of you know that Jesus didn't do anything just to do it? He did it to accomplish something. This is called the new covenant. If there was not a problem with the old covenant, there wouldn't need to be a new covenant. Jesus is the mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. So if 2.6 million people can leave Egypt and there's not one feeble among the tribes, there's not one sick among the tribes, not one baby is sick, not one mama is sick, not one grandma is sick, and not one animal is sick. If God can heal 2.6 million people when they leave Egypt, what can he do today with a new and a better covenant? But you can't get it without believing it. You don't discern it, you can't have it. And this is the struggle in the body of Christ. They want it, but they hope for it. It's almost like the roulette wheel of God. Not today. Not my will. Yahtzee! Only if you're lucky. No, you don't have to be lucky. I don't believe in luck. I'm a covenant child. Does it mean that sickness doesn't try to come on my body? Of course it does. We live in a fallen world. But the issue isn't that it tries to come. The issue is, what do you do when it gets there? Sin tries to come into your life. And sometimes you sin. Anybody here sin? What happens when you sin? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. If you confess, he said, I'll forgive you of all your sins. When sickness comes into your body, what do you do?
Well, you know, I guess it's the way it is. I'm getting up there, you know.
You know what? Is God so powerful that he needs to take you home by putting a disease on your life? is he so powerful, so supernatural, that he has to rescind his covenant rights with you to get you to heaven? Or can your heart just stop? In fact, the book of Psalms says, the very breath you have, he gives you. Do you have to be sick to die? So I was talking to the doctor about that. And he says, Pastor, you know, there has to be a reason for death. I said, well, and your heart stops, what do you call it? He says, we call it cardiac arrest. I said, call it anything you want. When your heart stops, you're dead. When it's time to go home, it's time to go home. But he's promised you 70. What's 70? 70. Don't die early. No, you're not. You got extended time, Uncle. He's 14 years extended time. 37 years, glory to God. You're not even wrinkled yet, man. What's going to happen then? You're going to look really good. You want to be alive in 37 years? Amen. So, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. Glory to God. It's important. This is where you and I have the issues. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We're talking about Jesus here. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Remind you, this is old covenant. This is the old covenant, not the new covenant. But God is showing his nature all the way through the scripture. Exodus 12, Exodus 15, verse 26, Psalms 103, Psalms 105, Psalms 107, he sent his word to heal us. Isaiah 53, he's making the declaration that by his stripes you are healed. Why? Because it was a normal process for the children of Israel to walk healthy, to walk whole. In fact, what's amazing is they usually walked in health. In fact, it was 19 years. This is really cool. You can study it out yourself. From when they left Egypt, they lived healthy for 19 years until they stepped out of God's will. Isn't that interesting? Every time they came back into alignment, health came back to Israel. It's important, not that if you're sick, you're out of alignment. What I'm telling you, though, is you have to start believing. You have to start having faith in the Word of God. Isaiah 53 made that declaration. I love this first portion. Now, if you're reading the New King James Version or the King James Version, the word is wrong, but the interpretation of that of two words here were not done as well as they should have been. He carried our sorrows, and we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The word griefs there, he bore our griefs. The actual Hebrew word for grief is sickness. So Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, the word griefs literally means sickness. That's strong number, H, which means Hebrew, 2483. The word sorrows there actually means physical and emotional pain. So on the cross of Jesus, he took all of your physical pain. So when physical pain comes in my body, I first recognize that something's wrong. Pain is not always bad. Amen. You want pain if you put your hand on a hot oven. You want pain. Pain says not good. Amen. But I don't allow pain to remain. I start taking authority over pain. Because he carried my pain. That means if he's carrying it, I don't have to. So when I start feeling pain, I start talking to that pain in my body and start taking authority over that pain. I speak to the root problem, but then I command the pain to get back on the cross where it belongs. And that's exactly how I say, I command you to get back on the cross where you belong. It could be binding, but mainly for me, it is putting it back where it belongs. Just like if you're in my mother's kitchen and you go start taking things out of the cupboard, she's going to start putting them back where they belong or tell you to. She puts it back. I know she's OCD in the kitchen. You have selective hearing. 30 years of marriage, you're allowed. So when I see somebody in pain, emotional pain, I let them know that, listen, you don't need to carry that. Jesus carried that for you. The Bible says, my yoke is easy and your burden is light. Many of us are carrying what we've never been called to carry. You've not been called to carry pain. You're not called to carry emotional pain. We weren't built for it. If we were built for it, we'd all be ill the moment we came out as babies. We weren't built for pain. That's not how God created us. He created us for health. That's why everybody in the room wants to be healthy. That's the natural way God created you. So when unhealth comes to your life, you have to make a choice and a decision. Is it God's will for me to be sick? Is it God's will for me to have pain? Is it God's will for me to have disease? Is it God's will for me to have what my mother had, what my grandfather had? Do I have to carry the generational sicknesses and diseases? See, you have to make a decision for yourself. This is something the preacher can't make for you. This is something that nobody can just sit here and try to convince you of. You have to make a decision that I have the covenant right to be healthy. I have the covenant right to be whole. I have the covenant right to have a sound mind. I have the covenant right not to have pain. And when you learn this, then even when hell is licking your toes, you have a foundation to stand upon. And you can bind the devil. You can release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you can start receiving your promise, that benefit package that Christ already paid for on the cross. But you can't have it if you don't believe it. And that's really the struggle. One thing I've learned when Rhonda was diagnosed with cancer was that we weren't expecting that. How many of you know you don't expect disease to come? Especially when you're healthy. Especially when it doesn't run in your family. Your faith is a theory until tested. And you learn that your crossroads that you come to are, you either put more of your faith in the facts than, or you put more of your faith in the truth. I tell you, that was a rough season. That was a rough season. It's hard seeing your spouse not healthy. It's hard seeing a good woman be sick. Let me tell you, she's a good woman. Hard seeing that. Hard seeing them in pain, having to go through tests. But I remember when that doctor looked at Rhonda and said, I'm going to cut you here, I'm going to cut you there, you'll never be the same again. Rhonda looked at him and said, well, doctor, thank you for your report, but I believe that Jesus will heal me. And he looked at her. He was not a nice man. He was not a nice man. And when she did get healed, he said, I'm going to put you through pain. I'm going to do what I got to do to prove to you that this is not true. They did 12 biopsies, more pictures. And they put her in pain. But when they got that test back, the nurse practitioner, he said, go call her and tell her that the last test that came through was there was no, I don't even know what the title stuff is, no cancer, no dysplasia, and no, it was another word. And the nurse practitioner who knows us, and her brother comes to this church, said, no, you call her. And he called and he says, we all know cancer can't just disappear. You still have cancer. We can't find it, but we know you got it. And he says, we're sending this down to the Mayo Clinic. They sent it down to the Mayo. I guess they have a convene. They convene and talk about cases. And it came back with no cancer. I tell you, the tough part was, do I really believe what I preach? That's when the rubber meets the road, baby. That's when the rubber meets the road. It's not that sickness doesn't show up. But do you believe it's God's will to heal or not? And the test of that is where the peace is. Do you have more peace in what a doctor tells you or more peace in what the Word tells you? Do you have more peace in what the Word says? Or even that your circumstances are getting better. Whew. Come on now. That's where this is not about you and I being religious. It's about God showing up and doing his thing. But God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by your faith. So if you're not sure, if you're not sure, the only thing you really have to stand on is medical science. And I believe without question they're doing, most of them, the best they can. But the truth is, they didn't make your body. They didn't create your body. They're going to do their best to fix your body, but they didn't create it. And the Creator is still alive. And the Creator can still create, recreate, redesign, put in new body parts. I had this man, New Hartford, New York. I'll end here with this. New Hartford, New York. He came up for prayer. He was a tall guy. I said, what do you want? And he said, I need a new heart. I'm thinking, you got bitterness or something? He goes, no, really, I've got heart disease. The doctors tell me I'm terminal. There's really nothing they can do for me. And so if I don't get healed, then I only have a certain period of time. I says, well, watch. God's going to give you a new heart. And as I was praying for him, I just, in my spirit, I just saw a new heart. And I grabbed it. And I slammed him in his chest. I don't know if he appreciated that or not. And I said, in Jesus' name, I call forth not a renovated heart, but a brand new heart in the name of Jesus. He stood there like nothing ever happened. There was no physical manifestation. He went back and he called his doctor the next day, which was Monday. And he said, I want you to check my heart. The doctor said, sir, it's going to take at least three or four days to wean you off. I think he was on like blood thinners, to wean you off stuff so that we can actually, I think he was going to go up through the groin and go check him out. Whatever long it took, they took the time, they weaned him off, and they were doing the test, and his wife is out in the waiting room. And the Jewish doctor walked out and said, there was nothing we could do. And she said, I thought he died, you know. It just wasn't a good thing. She said, I thought he died right there. And the Jewish doctor said, no. It's like he's got a new heart. It's like he's got a heart of a 17-year-old. That day, God took out of heaven and placed within that man a brand new heart. And he had the doctor's reports to prove it. And the Jewish doctor, because they do believe in God, made the declaration, this is a miracle. Miracles happen. Miracles are your right. Doesn't mean that trouble's not going to come. But when it comes, you better know that you know that you know it's God's will. Now, do I believe it's wrong getting a medical procedure? No. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's wrong if you get a stent put in your heart or you have a broken arm fixed. I don't think that's wrong. Where it's wrong is when you put more faith in the doctor than you do in Jesus. That's where it's out of order. God can use doctors. Absolutely. Medical science, I mean, today heart procedures are like a dime a dozen. Where 75 years ago, 100 years ago, you'd be dead. What they do with babies is amazing. I believe in doctors. But when you put more faith in the doctor than you do in Jesus Christ, that's when you're out of order. And you've got to believe it's God's will to heal you first. I'd rather have Dr. Jesus do his job than have to continue to go and get test after test after test after test, pay after pay after pay after pay, cancel after cancel after cancel after cancel. You've got to make decisions. But you can't make that decision with a clear mind if you're not sure. So we've only just begun. We'll continue. Is that fair? Questions? It's good teaching, isn't it? No questions? Awesome. Let's stand.